The question today is, what is the Holy Spirit's work in salvation? This is part number 7. Well, we've looked at this from time to time. We said that He moves in our darkness and positions us to receive light and positions us for the work of reproval. Then He works reproval. And, of course, we dealt with the word of reproval, which is the same as Holy Ghost conviction and godly sorrows, all connected in that. And then He empowers the gospel that God graciously brings across our path. He grants repentance and faith. He also brings us to the place and calls us with the effectual call. Then He enables us to obey the gospel. And then He quickens our dead spirit, justifies us, in other words, renders us just or right in the sight of God. Then He sheds love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, and places us into the Lord's body. That's in the family of God, of course. The church will not be a church yet, because the church is local, visible body, but it's placed into a forming body that will be called out one day in Hebrews, and it's called the church of the firstborn. Let's go a little further with that today on the question, just what's the Holy Spirit's work in salvation. He indwells every believer. It's promised to us. He was promised in John chapter 14, verse number 16 through 17, when Jesus was about ready to go to the cross, He said, "And I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another comforter." That's another of the same kind as I am, alongside to aid you, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, the Holy Spirit was working with them, but He said He shall be in you. 1 John 3:24 says, "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." 1 John 4:13 says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." So the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. That means everyone who's been saved. He also seals every believer. The Holy Ghost is the seal, by the way. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, "In whom ye also trusted," meaning in Jesus, "whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth." You've got to hear the word of truth before that you can ever believe unto salvation. But He said, after that you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, "in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." In other words, the Holy Spirit that was promised, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. In other words, the Holy Spirit is just the earnest of a whole lot more to come. But He said, until the day of our redemption. That means when our body's been redeemed. So He seals every believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 21 and 22 said, "Now He which establisheth you, or us, with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." So the Holy Ghost is the seal. Now, seal signifies three things. First of all, it signifies a finished transaction. In other words, Jesus finished what He came to do. It's what He said on the cross, in His prayer on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Though He also said in John 17:4, that great intercessory prayer, He said, "I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do." Then while on the cross, after dark for a space of almost 3 hours, and Jesus had cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And I thirst the thirst of hell." John 19:30 said, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Not one thing can be added, nor one thing can be taken away from that, because of the fact He said it's finished." And that's therefore the seal represents a finished transaction. And that's exactly what happens when a person is saved. It's over. The work's done. It's done by the Lord, and a person saved, he'll be saved forevermore. A seal also not only represents a finished transaction, but a seal represents ownership. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In other words, we're not our own anymore when we're saved, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. and we belong unto the Lord at that place and time. So it's a temple. Our bodies is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Third thing the seal represents is not only a finished transaction and ownership, but it also represents security. Ephesians 4:30 said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you sealed unto the day of redemption." In other words, John chapter 10, verse number 27 through 29 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." That's security. Romans 8, 35 and 37 through 39 said, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Verse 35 says who, and then it turns to what? It deals with things. In other words, even the devil cannot take persecution and tribulation and distress and famine or nakedness or peril or sword and separate us from the love of God. Even death will not bring that, because he says in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So a seal represents a finished transaction, ownership, and security. But it also indicates that approval is placed upon that person whenever he is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. John 6:27 says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath the Father, God the Father, sealed." In other words, it's not talking about laboring as far as works for salvation, but it's laboring for the truths and the understanding and overcoming the obstacles in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, so that one might be saved. If you don't labor, you're not going to overcome. You're going to wind up making a false profession or something if you listen to many who short-circuit the work of the Holy Spirit. But whenever the seal comes, the Holy Spirit comes, approval is placed upon that person. You see, the one who labors rightly is the one the Father puts his approval upon. An example would be USDA number one meat. In other words, the U.S. government will put its seal of approval upon all that passed inspection, but it'll not put its seal of approval upon anyone else or anything else as far as the meat was concerned. And so therefore, labor for meat that perisheth, that endureth to everlasting life. Now, he's not telling you not to work for physical meat. You need to work. In fact, he said if you don't work, you're worse than an infidel if you won't provide for your own family. So it's not talking about that, but it means the most important thing is labor and strive to enter in the straight gate that you may be saved. God puts his seal of approval upon those who the Father has sealed, who's labored for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And also that seal leaves an impression upon it. Galatians 5:22 and 23 said, "But the fruit, and it's singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And that this ninefold fruit is present in every saint without exception in some quantity. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5 and 6. He said, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." Oh my, and you've got to bring forth fruit, is what it amounts to. And you will bring forth fruit if you're his, because his seal, the Holy Spirit, leaves an impression upon you. Matthew 13:23 said, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." This is the only one saved, by the way, "which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And then not only does he place he seal you, every believer, but the Holy Spirit's work in salvation is that he gives assurance. Assurance means confidence. 2 Peter 1:10, he said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." God wants you to know that you know that you know that you've been saved. And he gives assurance. In fact, he gives much assurance. the Holy Spirit does. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." In other words, much assurance, he said. That means a whole bunch. It comes when the gospel comes rightly in power and the Holy Ghost. And that assurance is forever. Isaiah 32:17 said, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever." Not 5 days, not 2 weeks, but forever. And that's the Holy Spirit's job to give assurance, not the preacher. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 6, the last part of that verse says, "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." The word "beareth witness" means to give a testimony to give a first-hand detailed account of what one has seen or heard or experienced. In this case, it's all three. The tense speaks of a continuous action, not a one-time thing. In other words, you can depend upon Him. Thus, John calls Him truth. He is the truth. And therefore, He bears witness unto you because the Spirit is truth. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That doesn't say my spirit bears witness with your spirit. It says the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit because your spirit's been quickened and made alive by the Holy Ghost who lives inside, and He bears witness in that. And you need to understand that's not your spirit bearing witness with other men's spirit, as many preachers tell you, but His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. 1 John 5:13 said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." That word "know" means assurance, which is opposite of doubt. In other words, you can see this assurance if you look at these verses in reverse order. 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things are written that you may know." But 1 John 5:12 said, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And then verse number 11 back up said, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life's in His Son." The record's the Word of God. But life is not in the written Word of God. It's in the living Word, the Son of God. And 1 John 5:10 said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the Word, that God gave of His Son." Now you note, it said the witness is in himself, and that witness is the Holy Spirit who lives in every saved person. 1 John 5:9 said, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son." And then back up to verse 8 of 1 John 5, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. What the blood is cleansed, the Spirit bears witness to, and the Word or the water verifies." And that's not word only. The devil can't shake it in what he does. The world don't doubt it. That's why we can shout it, "Saved, saved, saved," all because of the Spirit's work in and after salvation. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.